Some shows talk about one team. Other shows barely talk sports. This show will talk Packers, yeah! Brewers, yeah! And Bucks, yeah! Every day.
Every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Here we are. Yes, we are. Live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Hope y'all got some fun things planned for the weekend. Antiquing is what our guy Charlie has planned to go do that.
And again, it's a good workout. You get a nice little like walk. It's like an indoor hike. And especially since it's going to be cold again for no reason all weekend. We wanted to go to the beer garden that cold. Opens up by us. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like in the 50s. I thought 50s it was supposed to be like in the 50s. That's cold compared to what it's been for the past like two weeks.
Yeah, man, tomorrow. And now again, we're in southeastern Wisconsin. So if you're in Wausau, Duluth, y'all may have different forecasts. But down here, high of 54 tomorrow.
That's not what's like wrong warm. With that? That's not like outside, hang out outside weather.
I'm going to go to a baseball game tomorrow. It's
going to
be
gonna
that.
You were going to go to a baseball game whether it was 30 degrees or 78 degrees.
If Andrew Fisher's playing, yeah, I'm going to go watch Andrew Fisher for the Timber Rattlers. Yeah, no matter what. Yeah, it could be snowing. I'm going to go watch Andrew Fisher. About. Yeah, I'm in Andrew Fisher. Might even put face paint on my face just to sit in the stands and go watch Andrew Fisher.
I think you should. And then you're not allowed to make fun of Josh and Thunder holding up the We Love You, Giannis. Ever again if you do.
You're right. That's the dumbest thing ever came out of my mouth. No, I'm definitely not doing that. Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. He is Pete Doherty, the man, the myth, the legend over there at the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on X at Pete Doherty. You can watch him right here on X, on YouTube, Instagram Live, streaming live on all of those platforms at WI Sports Radio, streaming live on the Fan Facebook, Milwaukee Pace Facebook page as well. All different kinds of ways to get your fix of Pete Doherty right now. Pete Doherty, I know I've never asked you this, but since we were just talking about it, what's the craziest thing you've ever done to show your fandom to a player? Going all the way back to your childhood, let's say. All the way up. Did you ever hold up a sign trying to get a player's attention when you were a kid or dress like somebody? Like when I was back in grade school, I had my mom and my aunt dye the back of my hair bleach blonde so I could be like the magic man Don Majkowski back in the day. That was the extent of my over-the-top fandom. Do you have anything, Pete Doherty?
Not much. You know, I come from an era just before where people were commonly buying jerseys. Like, you couldn't get Packers jersey. I remember getting a Blackhawks jersey, and it was like a big hassle to get it. I was probably 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah.
And it was not easy to get. You couldn't just walk into a store. You had to special order it, and, you know, you had to do it by mail. You couldn't do it online, all that stuff. So it seems like the jersey stuff didn't start until – I don't know, the mid to later 80s. And by then, you know, I was into this business and that wasn't going to be my thing. So not really. I remember being about 5 or 6 years old and writing Bart Starr if he would send me a signed football. I didn't send him a football, a sign. I was basically asked him to provide the signature and the football. I was like 5 or 6 years old. He sent back a picture of a signed picture of himself. I was very disappointed I didn't get the football.
That's awesome. That's what I'm talking about. See, there we go. We learned something about Pete Doherty. Nobody else has that except us. That's good stuff. I love it. I don't know if people do that for Lucas Van Ness, but I will say this. I don't think I would have paid him the fifth-year option at $14.5 million. We went and we looked up the numbers. His numbers clearly were better last year than they had been prior to last year for certain. And in fact, he was, what, in the top 30 on Pro Football Focus?
27th ranked edge rusher.
So, yeah, so top 30 on Pro Football Focus. Not like that's the say-all, end-all, be-all. But I don't know, man. I'm just not convinced on him necessarily at this point. What's your take on Lucas Van Ness and the fifth-year option?
Yeah, I was leaning towards not doing it, and I would have tried to work out an extension with him, because he's a good player, you know.
Sure.
But he's not a big sacker, you know. 14 mil or 14 and a half, whatever it is, it's not an outrageous price, so I could see why they did it. He missed a lot of games last year. I think they think if he stays healthy this year, you know, maybe he can be a 7 or 8 sack guy. I don't know if he can or not. But yeah, I was leaning against that I would do it. I'd try to sign him, like I said, but I can see why they did it. But if it were my call, I probably would not have.
What's your thoughts on Devontae Wyatt in a possible long-term deal with this Green Bay Packers football team? Because that's another guy that I think people thought would get taken care of. People are waiting for Christian Watson to get taken care of, and they took care of Jaden Reed first instead of taking care of Christian Watson. What are your thoughts on those two guys, Watson and Wyatt?
Yeah, Reed was a lot cheaper. You know, I know on paper, they're, you know, it's 17 mil, average of 17 mil. You know, it's 51 mil over three new years. But if you actually, what it really is, it's a four-year deal. And I did the math, and it's like $13.5 or $14 million a year. I think that's a perfectly reasonable price for Jaden Reed. Watson's going to be twice that.
Twice that?
You know, you're talking bigger money. Oh, yeah. Watson will be who's the guy in the Colts? The free agent.
Pittman? Michael Pittman?
Who's going to hit free agency.
Oh, no, Alec Pierce?
Yeah, there you go. He signed for, it was a free agent deal, so it's real money. He signed for, it was either 27 or 28 mil a year. He and Watson have really similar stats. I think Watson's a little more talented. Pierce is a big time, big play guy. I think he's averaged in his career over 20 yards a catch. So yeah, Watson's going to get, Watson should come in right around there. That would be, if I were him, I wouldn't take any less than that. That's for sure.
Alec Pierce, $114 million, $28.5 million a year, $84 million guaranteed, $60 million fully guaranteed. And he's got a void year in 2030. He's 26. And you're saying Watson will be right around that same number.
Yeah, Watson's he's a more complete, like he showed last year. He started becoming a real receiver last year, you know, running outs and catching outs and all that. He's a better player, but you know, there's the health risk with Watson, which, you know, Pierce has been more durable. So, but yeah, I would think Watson will come in right around there. So it takes longer to work out. The bigger the money, you know, those are harder deals to work out.
What about Devontae Wyatt?
I'd do it. He's old for, you know, being at the end of his rookie contract only. But, you know, all these big deals that they do, they're 2-year deals, and then there's the team option after that. So even if you do Wyatt this year, you're really only for sure going to have him for the next 2 years. And I think he turns 30 in maybe 2029, I think, or maybe it's 28. But so anyway, you know, by the time he hits 30, if you think he's declining, you can cut him. You got to be strong up front. They drafted McClellan, but, you know, you need more than that. Hargrave is probably going to be a 1-year rental. I mean, he's a 31 or 32-year-old guy. So I would do it with Wyatt and, you know, do a 3 or 4 or 5 year extension and, you know, try to get at least 2 years out of him and then take it from there.
Talk with Pete Doherty, Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on X at Pete Doherty here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. See Sparky Fiverr with you. If they're going to pay Christian Watson $27, $28 million, whatever it is, can they afford Tucker Kraft on top of that to go along with it?
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, you can't pay everybody, but, you know, tight ends are cheaper. I've got to look that up, what they're making. I think I don't even know if tight ends are over $20 million yet.
No.
I don't think they are.
No, average year, $19.1 million for Kittle. Average $19 million a year for Trey McBride. Kyle Pitts, $15 million. Isaiah Likely, $13.3 million. Mark Andrews, $13 million.
Yeah, you know, when Kraft is coming off the ACL, maybe that saves them a little bit. But he can always just turn the deal down. So, yeah, I would think he'd come in, you know, right around 18, 19 mil. You know, it's a lot of money. You know, don't get me wrong. But that's one of the reasons I think they didn't go hog wild with mortgaging contracts this year and signing guys in free agency. Besides that, I don't think they were crazy about the free agent class. But, you know, they're going to spend their free agency money on their own guys. And so, yeah, I think there's enough money to do all that stuff and to fit it under the cap. And maybe they'll have to, you know, do, you know, one more restructure of a contract to make the room. But, you know, Wyatt'll save money on the cap because he's making 12 mil this year. You know, he's making a 5th-year option.
Right.
And for cap purposes, when you do these extensions, for the first year, let's say the deal averages 20 million a year, the first year cap number is going to be about half that or a little less. So if he came in at 10 mil cap number, that's actually saving him 2 mil.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Backup quarterback, are they done? Or do you think they still figure out a way to add another arm, whether it's Anthony Richardson in a trade for like a seven or something along those lines?
Yeah, my guess is the latter, that they make one of those Malik Willis deals at the end of camp. Just a guess. Maybe Ridder will be good enough. You know, the guy that the Drones, who they signed, he could end up, maybe he's talented. You know, who knows? Maybe he'll end up being a backup quarterback, but I can't imagine that he'll be ready to play this year. And Love has gotten hurt last couple of years. You know, they really could use a guy who gives them a chance to win. It might be Ridder, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're hunting like they did for Willis a couple of years ago at the end of camp.
I don't know if you saw this clip or not. Kyle Shanahan was at his press conference. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. And they were talking about, or he was talking about, how he goes about his evaluation process for the draft and trying to figure out how to watch all these guys. And he said that he has his position coaches make highlight reels of all the different players that are going to potentially be on their board of 200 or however many are on their board. At each position group, they all have to make highlights. Then he sits down and watches all the highlight reels. And if he's not impressed by the highlight reel, then you can just cross that name off the board, and then he doesn't bother to go back and watch any more film. That seems like a lot of work for the position groups, position group coaches, number one. But number two, I actually kind of like it because that means everybody is involved. Now if you draft a wide receiver, that wide receiver coach has watched a bunch of game film on whoever it may be by putting together this highlight reel or whatever that Shanahan wants at the end of the day. I actually kind of like it, even though it seems kind of psychotic to ask those guys to go and do that.
Oh, that's got to be why he does it, because to put together that reel, they've got to watch all the games. They've got to watch all the plays, right, that the guy took part in. So they got to scout the guy really thoroughly. So I think that's a great way to get these guys engaged and to force them to do that work. And they've got time in the offseason for it. I think it's a good idea. I'd be a little wary of just going off highlights if I'm Shanahan. But,
Shanahan's point was, Shanahan's like, if that's the best this kid has and I don't like it, then I'm not going to bother going back and watching anything else.
Yeah, and so like Lombardi used to say, like with offensive players, with like running backs, just show me if he did it in college, and if he did, I'll find a way to get it out of him in the NFL. So that's kind of the thinking there. The only, I guess, issue you could run into is you might run into a guy, especially like an offensive lineman, who he may not be, pancaking guys or whatever, but he might, win most of the time and almost never get beat. And there might not be a lot of highlights there, but I'm guessing Shanahan does it mostly to make those guys do that work, and then he can see what at least the upside is for all these guys that they're thinking about.
What was the draft process like under Ted Thompson?
I don't think the coaches were super involved. I'm not sure they are now either. I think they get their say in theory, I think the thinking going back to Wolf is, the scouts spend all year doing this, and you don't want these coaches coming in at the last minute and changing everything. I mean, I've talked with, people who were there at the time for what happened to Bart Starr and why he failed, and his greatest failure as a GM was when the draft did roll around, his coaches would get involved and he'd do what they liked. And that's how, instead of doing what the scouts liked, and that's how he ended up not drafting Ronnie Lott and Joe Montana and drafting, all those busts that they had. That was because he listened to his assistant coaches, who didn't spend nearly the time scouting these guys as his scouting department did.
I've heard stories of Ted Thompson trading up for, like, I think it was B.J. Sander or whatever, when he traded up.
And That was Mike Sherman.
Oh, Sherman that did that, yeah. But I remember hearing stories of guys making trades, and coaches around the hallways have no idea what's going on, who's being picked or anything, and everybody go running back into the draft room to see what the heck is going on, and just pulls the trigger and makes the move.
Yeah, he ran the thing. I think Gutekunst is kind of like that. I mean, LaFleur's in there the whole time, and especially with quarterbacks and offensive players, I'm sure LaFleur has some, say, but, the GM sees his job as providing talent. And, GMs, have to think a little differently than coaches. And that's why it's really risky. It's a greater risk to have coaches do the picking, because if coaches are doing the picking, you don't draft Aaron Rodgers, you don't draft Jordan Love. You know, you think a little too short term, and you probably draft too much for need, which, you know, you always have to draft for need, but you want to go best player, as you want to skew that way as much as you can.
Isn't that what he did this year? Did he draft for need this year?
He did. He definitely drafted for need. I think he spent capital to match need with where they had guys ranked. In other years, I don't think he's trading up for McClellan, but they needed help at defensive tackle so badly that he was willing to spend the capital to get the best one still on his board, and the drop-off was too much. But, yeah, this was a need, and need always is a factor. you can't draft seven cornerbacks in one draft, you know.
Yeah.
But it's hard enough. It's really hard to find good players. Most fail. Most are average or below average or just a hair above average. But the odds are a little better if you're drafting who you think is the best player and you're worrying less about position. So the more that you can do that over five drafts, the better your odds of finding good players. I think that's the thinking.
No, I get it. It makes sense to me. He is Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow my next to Pete Doherty. I could talk to Pete Doherty all day long about football. Pete, thank you so much for coming on. Have a good weekend, my friend. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, always a pleasure, Sparky. Great talking with you, and thanks for having me.